This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
You know, I posted something on my Facebook page, of which I have to have my social media gal, Jessica, now put it on the Drive Facebook page, of me working on a car when I was 19 years old, which is almost 40 years ago, putting an engine in a truck that I borrowed, a cube van, no less. I borrowed a cube van to make a move. And I said to the guy, I go, will this make it 1,000 miles? He goes, yeah, no problem. I drive this thing to New York. We're on the West Coast. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even barely make it to, I made it to a really nice town to break down in, which is Santa Barbara, California. And then I limped it the rest of the way home to Ojai, California, which I barely made it. Then I had to pull the engine out. But I've been doing this crap for 40 years, actually 41 years now. And it's funny how, you know, things went from being greasy and mechanical and gears and to all of a sudden one day everybody's wearing lab coats and they've got their laptops and they've got their, you know, pocket square with their, it's like, what happened? There is still a side of gears and oil and stuff like that. But for the most part, cars, you don't go under the hood anymore. You lift the hood, you look under and you go, wow, look at all that plastic. So things have changed. But gearhead guys still remain the same. I still love getting dirty, getting my hands greasy, doing stuff like that. But I don't do it nearly as often as I used to. But I've been doing a little bit of it lately. So it kind of, you know, it brings back a lot of fond memories when I was pulling out engines and doing body work and paint. I used to own a wrecking yard, for goodness sakes. George Kennedy III is on the line with us right now. Freelance automotive journalist. He works for some of the best out there. Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, Car Gurus. You can find him, of course, at cargurus.com, boston.com in the car section there. And U.S. News, cars.us news. Just George Kennedy III. He's not the actor. Don't worry about it. George,
well,
how you doing?
Thank you for the fantastic introduction, man. How we doing?
You know what? It's funny. I found that old black and white picture. And I posted it, and I was like, man, that was a long time ago. Are you even 40 yet?
No.
No, right? I was working
on as long as I could.
I've been working on cars since before you were born. And it's funny, because I look at you, you're this big, strapping, bearded man. You still got that beard? Did you shave it?
Oh, yeah.
You still got it.
Not going anywhere.
Anyway, but... Man, things have changed, George. Things have really changed.
Well, I'm working on building my wrenching resume. I've been doing it since I had a license, even before I had a license in most cases.
Yeah, so, well, me too, yeah.
I'm working towards that legacy, you know?
Well, so the question is, what have you been driving lately? What advanced machinery have you been driving lately?
Well, I've been in the 2018 Land Rover Discovery HSE Luxury Gas V6.
And you say that because there's also a TD6, a turbo diesel, which is nice.
That's right, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. There was at one point, it used to be, you know, you get your V8s or your V6s, and Land Rover is offering for a lot of its vehicles just the supercharged V6 or just the turbo diesel V6. Hmm. And, you know, we drove the gas, but I drove the diesel one last year, and it was a pretty impressive vehicle. It has 254 horsepower, 443 pound-feet of torque,
whew,
and it gets as much as 26 miles per gallon on the highway. That's pretty impressive for, you know, something that weighs, you know, probably 5,000 or 6,000 pounds, if not more.
Right. Well, and you're talking about the diesel one, right?
That's the diesel, yeah.
Right. Well, and that also has amazing towing capacity, and I happen to have driven this vehicle out in the mountains of Utah. And it'll forge like 3 feet of water, which if you stand in 3 feet of water, it's right probably at your waist. That's a lot of water to be in, right? You wouldn't think you'd take a luxury vehicle in that much water, but oh, yes. By the way, I got to take a little break, but I got something special for you. Where the heck do we put it? Here it is.
Okay.
You ready for this? This is cellos. This is a group called Two Cellos. This is the hottest music.
Yeah.
So let me take a little break. We'll come back. I'm going to play some of this on the show today. I love it. Some new funky music. It is The Drive. Our show brought to you in part by Craftsman. We build pride. We'll be right back.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
On the track, even 100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Well, this is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Special guest, George Kennedy III, car gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report. You can find him. He is a freelance automotive journalist. Driving the 2018 Land Rover Discovery. A really, really nice vehicle, I must say. The one thing is, when Land Rover builds something, they build it to go anywhere and pretty much tow pretty much what you need to, which with the diesel, I don't know about the gas one, but the diesel one's got enough torque to tow the heck out of most anything you want.
Well, even with the gas V6, it tows 8,200 pounds.
Nice.
And that's impressive. And it's not just what, you know, how much it can tow, but the smart way in which it does it. It's got the system where, you know, I'm sure you have your big truck and your trailer, right? You drive backing up trailers, right? It's kind of a, it takes a little time to get used to it.
Yeah,
it's counterintuitive at first, and even when you've done it for years, it still requires all your brain power to get it done when you're backing up a big trailer,
yep.
Even worse when it's a short trailer. So what they do is, and it requires the an extra package, and there's backup sensors and cameras and stuff, but if you set up the trailer, you type in ahead of time the length of the trailer, how many wheels, and then set up some points for its sensors to read the trailer. It then, when you engage reverse and put the trailer system in, a knob pops out of the center console, and you take your hands off the wheel, and you turn that knob, not the direction that you're going to point the car to counter steer it, but you're going to point the system in the direction you want the trailer to go. And then when you take your hands off the wheel whips around, and it does all of the counter steering to put that trailer where you want it.
So this is literally like self-parking with trailer connected. And I remember now, I remember when we did this, because when this first came out on the short lead or the long lead, whatever it was, it's been almost a year ago, they did this with the boat. And I remember thinking to myself, that's genius. But it was so early on, I wasn't sure if it was something that made it into it. So it made it in. That's great. Well, that's great because guess what? Those who don't back up well can look like, you know, a champion backer-upper now.
Right? Well, when I talked to Land Rover, and I first demoed this technology last year at the LA Auto Show, got a chance to check it out in a lot next to the convention center. What they had said is that, you know, for a lot of their buyers, some folks that own horses and stuff, they have to buy outside of Land Rover. You know, they might have to buy, a Ram truck or a Ford truck to do that towing. So they wanted to create a vehicle, and they wanted to create technologies that make it so that they can stay within the brand to do stuff like towing.
Again, technology instead of gears and grease and stuff that I like. But you know what? Listen, I remember there was a day, of course, and I've driven everything because I had a commercial driver's license. I drove an 18-wheeler that carried 10 cars. And let me tell you, backing up an 18-wheeler with cars all over it, that takes an art form, man. And so I took pride in it. But you know what? Watching somebody back up a boat going down the ramp and they're going like a snake back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, it's kind of embarrassing. So this really takes all the embarrassment out of that. I think it's great.
Right. If you're not an everyday tower, you know, it shouldn't have to be such a large barrier to entry.
Yeah, no question about it. So you were driving the gasoline engine model, not the diesel.
That's right.
How'd you love it?
HSE Luxury. Yep. of course, with these vehicles, really nice interior, as great as they feel, and the seats are super comfortable. They look fantastic. We had an interior that was black floor with white seating, and the white seating had blue stitching along the corners. And that's just one of the prettiest interiors in a car today.
So how much was this that you as tested as you drove it?
Right. Well, so starting price overall for Discovery is $52K. The HSE luxury with the gas V6 starts at around $65K. But you got to remember, with luxury SUVs, it's never as simple as what that sticker price says. So when you add the 360-degree camera, the heated and cooled seats, you know, all the other the goodies, you're probably looking at another $10,000 on top of that.
So when you say starts at 52, that's not the HSE, which is the, you know, super luxury package. So for some that don't care about all that, that just want the utilitarian part of this utility, you can probably get into this for a good price. And this is what these things are selling for these days. Okay, I got another great song for you here. Hold on. Here we go. Ready? This again, I'm stuck on these cello guys, right? Two cellos, it's called. All right, so thanks to Land Rover for letting George Kennedy drive it. Do you have a video on this anywhere, George?
No, but I will have a review coming up on Boston.com, so keep an eye out for it.
On which one? Boston.com. All right. Well, let us know. We should put links to these on our website, which if they'll allow that. But anyway, Land Rover makes a fantastic go-anywhere-do-anything luxury machine. Go out and take one for a test drive. This is Highway to Hell by the Two Cello Guys. I love it. We'll take a break. Come back with more with George Kennedy. It's The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Dodge, domestic, not domesticated. You know what I like about Dodge? Well, I like that they sponsor my show, first of all. Thanks for that, everybody. But I do like that they have the Dodge Demon and the Hellcat and the Trackhawk Jeep. 707 horsepower in a Jeep. Who would have ever thought? 840 horsepower in a Challenger. An old body. It's an old body. I mean, it's like they gave it one more life. I think that's brilliant. Anyway, I love my Demon. Love it, love it. George Kennedy still with us. What else is going on in your life, George?
This week, as you know, I'm up in Boston, and I'm a member of the New England Motor Association. And every year we do our annual technology conference. We do it in conjunction with MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which makes us look far smarter than we are. And this year's topic, and we often come back to this, is autonomous vehicles, who's driving, the idea being like, you know, who's doing it well? What steps need to be taken still? You know, sort of a where are we now? Where are we going for this technology that obviously in the news a lot?
You know, it's funny. Speaking about the news, and please, people, don't quote me on this, but I was listening to the most valued companies on the news. Walmart is holding the number one position, you know, and so on and so forth, to Apple and blah, 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 blah. But then they go, and Tesla Motors has moved up 125 points. What? Tesla? It's like, it's so interesting to me where Ford Motor Company and GM are kind of languishing wherever they are. Tesla keeps just rising, rising, rising to the most valuable company. Yet the guy is in constant under attack by the analyst and by, you know, the car magazines and the journalists. I mean, I have so many friends that are Tesla haters. I don't know whether they're Elon Musk haters or Tesla haters. Personally, I do a show for Entrepreneur Magazine. I see Elon Musk as, he's like a total entrepreneur. He says he spent $100 million on SpaceX And then he spent the other $80 million on Tesla. And then he says, I had to borrow money for rent. And it was like, if that's not an entrepreneur, I don't know what is. But it's also not very smart. When you have that much money, you shouldn't have to borrow money for rent. But the point is, what is your thoughts on Tesla? I mean, there's a technology company that builds cars, in essence, kind of.
We talked a little bit about this last time I was on, and that is, I like the idea, like, you know, they started out and they broke a lot of conventions
right.
for automobiles. And they forced a lot of, you know, legacy automakers to kind of step up their game and reevaluate, you know, what are people paying for with the new car. Where I see the things going a little off the rails is what happened with Ford, where, you know, they're, you know, having to announce new stuff, they're killing off cars, they're changing their CEO, all because the shareholders aren't getting the returns that their buddies that are shareholders over at Tesla are getting. And it's unfortunate because they shouldn't be looked at in the same way. Tesla is such a different company in so many ways from GM and Ford and FCA that it's unfair for shareholders to treat looking at the two companies the same.
Yeah. I feel, and I've been saying this for a while, before it's all said and done, a tech company, a Google or a Apple or a Dell computer, God knows, some big company that has plenty of billions, is going to either merge with or buy Tesla. And Elon Musk is going to go down in history as one of the smartest dudes ever because with his entrepreneurial spirit, he forced the hand of the car industry, the car world, to change its ways. And I don't know what that's going to mean, but that's my crystal ball, you know, kind of looking into the future. Either that or he's going to go bankrupt and that'll be the end of that. What do you think?
It's funny. I mean, back in 08, 09, when, you know, GM had to go through big changes, they brought in CEOs that came in from outside the automotive space.
Right.
And, you know, they were having a hard time figuring out how to make things work. I applaud a lot of what Tesla does, but one thing that they kind of sort of come back to is it's hard to build cars and build them well. They're continuing to run into teething issues.
Yeah.
I know that there have been issues already with the Model 3, and they're having a hard time meeting volume for output. And, you know, Google or somebody could buy them, that's great, but that's not a car company. And that, you know, it takes a long time for a brand to get good at building cars, building them well, and making them last a long time.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If it's a Google or somebody like that that has plenty of billions laying in the bank, they've got cubic tonnage of money to hire the people that are doing it right at the car companies to come in. Just like Ford hired Alan Mulally, who was the champion of Boeing, right? I mean, Boeing,
that's right? Yep.
So then he brings his technology, which is aluminum, because that's he's like used to using aluminum. He's got no fears of it. And Ford beds and bodies and things are made out of aluminum. Cars have been made out of aluminum for a long time, but not trucks. So I believe that this is what the one thing that's great about America is it's the melting pot of, you know, kind of all things good, and some good will come out of it. Anyway, all right, last thing. What is the one technology you're doing your whole MIT forum tech thing there in Boston? What is the one thing that you cannot stand about tech? Me, I think gesture stuff in a car. What about you?
I think relying too much on touchscreens is a problem. So I hate to come back to Tesla again, but in the Model 3, you've removed all conventional controls and replaced them with one big touchscreen. I love using touchscreens. For example, if you look at Uconnect in Dodge and Chrysler products, that's a fantastic setup because it's easy to use and there's a redundant controls for volume and dials.
Yeah.
So, you know, blending the technology in ways that we've used dials and switches for decades.
Yeah.
You know, bring in the new, but keep the stuff
right
for those legacy.
Right. I just think it's weird when you have to wave your hand and do this, that, and the other, and then you're pointing at something and your radio turns down. George Kennedy III, a freelance automotive journalist, car gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report. Just find him. He's good at what he does. You'll see him on Car Gurus making videos. We'll take a little break. George, thank you, brother.
Thanks for having me, man.
New music again, two cellos. I love these guys. I think this stuff is just ridiculously awesome. Be right back.
It's spring. Time to wake up and get a great deal. Jolt them out of their winter slumber with Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. Or Dodge Charger with up to 300 horsepower with 30 mpg highway. Or Dodge Durango, the most powerful SUV with available all-wheel drive in its class. Spring's here, and so are the deals. So wake up and join the Brotherhood of Muscle. Based on Ward's Middle Specialty Vehicle Segment, EPA estimate, actual mileage may vary. Based on 2017 Ward's Midsize Sport Utility Vehicle Segmentation, excludes other FCA US LLC vehicles.
You're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. Thanks for joining us. Our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone. They're passionate about making tires that you can count on to perform when it matters most. They also own Firestone, so that would be like going around the Indy 500. I think all the tires, pretty sure I didn't go this year, on the Indy 500, on the Indy cars, are all Firestone. But the guy that would know that is Ed Justice Jr. from Justice Brothers. He was standing there. Still running Firestone on all those tires there, on all those race cars?
Yeah. The entire field, and as you remember, Alan, that's been that way for quite a number of years. Yeah. Firestone has provided the entire field of 33 with their great Indy 500 tires.
So you were there. I heard it was hot.
Second hottest in history.
Whew.
But I will tell you, since I was at one of the other hottest ones in history, which was 1977. And there have been some other hot years in between.
Yeah, but I've been to one.
Yeah, 1977, I'll never forget. That was my first year to attend, and the old garages were still built. They were wooden, no air conditioning, an occasional swamp cooler, which is, you know, it's better than nothing, but it's not much better.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable, and that was the year that A.J. Foyt won his fourth victory, and it was so hot. I remember we sat down in the grandstands in turn one for a while, which is a great experience, and I just never forgot how hot that was.
I know what a lobster feels like when it gets dropped in that boiling hot water, because when I was there, I don't know, it was probably a decade ago with you, it was one of those hot times, and it was like, oh, my gosh. But, yeah, it gets, you know, Indiana. So let me ask you, what does the heat do to the speeds around the racetrack? Does it help them, or it seems like, you know, maybe it would hurt them a little bit?
Well, it does. I mean, cooler generally is faster, right. And when the heat comes up, the cars tend to slow down. The track gets greasy and slippery, and you know, like the night before, it did rain just a little bit, so that has a tendency to clean the track off, which is not necessarily a good thing for grip. And you increase the heat, and, you know, you saw part of that. I mean, same chassis, different body work, okay? But in that body work, it made it act like a different chassis, in effect, because it moved the weight forward on the cars. So the cars had a greater tendency this year to understeer, or another term is to plow, meaning you turn the wheel and the car wants to continue going straight.
Right.
And at 230 miles an hour going into a turn, that's not a condition
that's a recipe for death. Right.
Yeah. So there were a lot of challenges. It was a, you know, it was the first time they ever brought these cars to Indianapolis with this new bodywork, and there wasn't a lot of testing, and the whole month really for a lot of the teams was just trying to figure out how to make the new setup work. Overall, I think it worked good. Now, you saw a lot of very experienced, well-known drivers lose control of the cars: Castro Neves, Tony Kanaan, Sebastian Bourdais. Takuma Sato ran into the rear of James Davidson down going into turn two. That was a situation.
Well, you know, all I saw was the news with Danica Patrick snooting around there like she owned the place, and she was madder than hell. Her mic didn't work, then it did, then there was some feedback on the, you know, something started playing over the loudspeakers, and man, she was nasty.
So. Yeah, well, she was another one that spun out, hit the wall. And, you know, unfortunately for Danica, her two-race final farewell, she crashed out at Daytona and crashed out at Indianapolis. And if you had a choice, it's not necessarily the way that you would want it to end.
I got to tell you.
That's racing.
I know, that's right. And you know what? Nobody likes to crash, but that's racing. But a guy, one of the comments was so funny. He said, she couldn't drive a hot poker through a snowman's ear. And I just, I laughed so hard. And somebody said, what are you laughing
at?
I can't tell you his name because he's a well-known guy. But I was like, oh, my gosh. He says, it's time for her to retire. He says, we're not done with her. He says, she's got a TV show and this, that, and the other. But, yeah, that was a funny statement. I've never heard that before.
It's funny. You can scan, with a scanner. A lot of the listeners might know this, and those that don't, you can scan the in-car radio frequency.
Right.
As a Joe Average public, you buy a scanner, put in the frequency, and you can listen to the different drivers talking back and forth to the pit. And I had most of them in there, and Danica being one, and she was not happy with the car from the beginning. And if you actually watched the race, you would have saw that she went backwards from the minute the green flag dropped. She was moving, back in the field at a pretty good clip. Yeah, she's either dropping back or people are flying by or whatever. She was losing position.
That was a nice way of saying she.
right. So they were, She did make a comment on the TV that, we were going to come in, we were going to make a big adjustment. Well, I can tell you that was basically all day. That was from the minute the green flag dropped. So I don't know that it would have gotten much better for her. You don't know, and it can, because a car can change through a 500-mile race dramatically,
sure,
depending on fuel load and everything else. I mean, so anyway, the end of the story is, yeah, she unfortunately crashed out, and but like another driver said to me, he said, look, I'd give her a lot of respect because she hadn't been in an Indy car in a long time, and to drive around Indy at over 200 miles an hour, I don't care who you are, that's no small thing.
Hey, she would kick our butts very easily, so it's easy for us to sit in the grandstand and talk about how bad she was in this race, but you got to give respect where it's due. Even just getting in the car in front of 300,000 people or a billion people watching on TV is a big deal. I can understand her being mad, but whoo, she was madder than hell. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back talking a little bit about the highlights of the Indianapolis 500. Ed was there. Ed Justice Jr., Justice Brothers, America's brand for quality. Been around for how many years, Ed?
Oh, gosh, over 85, I think.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's a brand you trust. We'll be right back.
Oh, wow, man. Wait a second, man.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel costs, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Speaking of racing and champions, our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions, Brembo Brakes. Ed Justice Jr. joining us. He was at the Indianapolis 500. He's part of the Indianapolis 500 Old Timers Club. That means you've had to have gone there for at least, 30 or something years, right, Ed?
Yeah, it's actually 20. You have to have a minimum of 20 years, and then based on, and it's got to be a certain level. You just can't be a person sitting in the grandstand for 20 years, because let me tell you, at Indianapolis, there's some people who have been sitting in the grandstand for 60 years. It's such a tradition. But anyway, yeah, and then you have to be voted in and all that. But
that's cool.
Anyway.
Well, but your family, 85 years, you were just saying, Justice Brothers, they're kind of the origin of motorsports, from the very beginning. They were building race cars.
Right. So. And at Indianapolis, this was our 73rd year for the family of participation out of the 102 races.
Wow.
So
Well, and you guys
tell me we have the record. I don't know.
That's awesome. You guys also sponsor race cars, right? Don't you? For in that we're in the race this year.
That's it. That's what the 73. It's either the 73 years of our family involvement's either been as a member of a crew, or as being a entrant, or the majority of it as a sponsor of a entry or two.
Well, who did you sponsor, and how did you do?
Well, this year we were connected. This is our second year in a row with the Dreyer and Reinbold racing team. We were with them back in the 90s. We sponsored a number of cars of theirs back in the 90s. And this year they had two entries, Sage Karam and J.R. Hildebrand. And both are excellent drivers. They had two strong cars under them. And, you know, look, I know how this goes with racing speak, but both cars were clearly top 10 cars. Sage got up just outside the top five before something broke in the rear end coming out of turn four, and it smacked him into the wall and unfortunately took him out of the race.
Yeah.
JR was in the top 10, and then with a pit stop rotation and a caution flag and all that, he ended up finishing 11th, which is a darn good finish.
That's a really good finish, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, but they had a really strong team, and again, both guys were great. And, you know, JR brought the car home in one piece, and Sage was clearly going to bring the car home in one piece if they didn't have that mechanical failure. But
right.
They both were powered by Chevys. The Chevrolet motor was a very strong motor at Indianapolis this year. That's the motor that won with Will Power.
Yeah, that's right. And Will Power, good for him, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, fantastic. Well, you know, look, at any time you go to Indianapolis, because Roger, this was his 17th
Roger
Indy
Penske.
500 victory. Anytime you go to Indianapolis, you know that Roger Penske and Team Penske are clearly you know, I would say your number one competitor, and then you can add Ganassi and Andretti onto that list of very, very strong competitors. And so you got your work cut out for you. And, again, Ganassi, his car was finished third with Scott Dixon. The surprise really this year, but not really a total surprise, was Ed Carpenter. He put his car on the pole. Ed's always good for qualifying
he's
at Indianapolis.
He's part of the family, isn't he? The Tony George family?
Yeah, Tony George is his stepfather.
That's what it is.
And Tony George's mom is Mary Holman George, and her parents were Tony Holman and Mary Holman, who were the owners of the track after World War II. And,
wow.
And they're credited with building the track to what it was, which, let me tell you, I cannot finish talking to you today on the show without saying what a unbelievable crowd they had at the track this year.
That's nice.
And what a great job Doug Bowles, Mark Miles, and the team at Indianapolis are doing to revitalize this event. They had two giant stages down between turns three and four. They had some epic concerts. They have a number of things that they put together, and it is a real event, and it really shows. Doug Bowles is a very engaging guy. He's the president of the Speedway. Mm-hmm. He literally goes out amongst the fans, the people, and meets them, shakes hands, and let me tell you, that type of management has its results, and you can see it in the attendance.
Let me ask you, in 1 minute, we got a minute left. What was the most exciting thing that happened for you at the Indianapolis 500?
Well, I tell you, every year just walking out on the grid pre the start of the race and looking at a pretty good percentage of, I don't know, 300,000 people, whatever the number is,
because
it's the largest single-day sporting event in the world. Paid attendance, because there's some that come close, but they're not all paid attendance.
Right.
That's always exciting to me. That just never gets old. And I always get the biggest kick out of meeting people back there that I know that are car people, that this is their first time.
Right.
And
well,
you go, so what do you think?
2 or 3 years ago, I saw John Force, you and I, and we took him in and introduced him to some of the big greats. Who do we introduce him to?
A.J. Foyt.
A.J. Foyt. I was going to say Andretti, but he's like he'd never been to the Indianapolis 500. Well, Ed, thank you for the little, catch-up there. Normally, Ed and I are together there, and Ed's been going forever. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway, a beautiful venue, a great place to make it your bucket list. Don't wait too long to go, people. Congratulations to Will Power for winning the Indianapolis 500 Memorial Day weekend. And I'm glad you had a great time. I'm glad your one of your cars finished 11th. Fantastic. Justice Brothers, thank you for the update.
You bet, Alan. We'll talk to you again.
All right. Ed Justice Jr., my good longtime friend, motorsports expert, used to be the host of Road and Track radio show. We're going to talk about the Bandit Run coming up next. This is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider the source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good. So good. I got to heal.
So, my buddy Dave Hall from Restore a Muscle Car in Lincoln, Nebraska, puts on an event every June 20th through the 23rd, or sometimes a day or two earlier or a day or two later, or sometimes a month earlier or whenever the hell he does it. But this year it's June 20th. It's called the 2018 Bandit Run. And why? Because he loves Trans Ams. And there's got to be more of a reason. How you doing, Dave?
Just fine. How you doing, Alan?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. I had a great weekend, and I made it through the week, and here we are with a new, fresh weekend. Tell us about Bandit Run. What do you guys do, and what started all this?
Well, the Bandit Run started back in 2007. We were basically getting ready for the anniversary of the Smokey and the Bandit movie,
right,
at the time, which I believe was the 30th anniversary for the movie. And we were preparing for making that trek from Texarkana to Atlanta, just like Bert did in the movie. And we thought we could do the same thing in our cars. And I got a group of people together, and we called it the Bandit Run, and took my internet background and stuff, and we started a website and stuff and told a few people about it. And at the time, we got quite a bit of interest. I think we had, when we started out in Texarkana, over 40-some cars starting, and by the time we hit Atlanta, the home of where year one was, we ended at the year one experience at the time, we had well over 100 some cars with us that had joined us along the way. And so we had, you know, over a couple hundred people traveling with us on the road, and we stop at different venues along the way and see different museums and car tracks, and whether it be round-to-round track or road courses or drag strips, you name it. All kinds of fun car-related stuff.
Has Burt Reynolds ever been involved with it?
Yes, actually. Back in 2010, we actually took it down to his museum right before the city actually sold the property off that he was using for his museum. We had a huge blowout party there.
Oh, man.
And stuff for him, raised a bunch of money for the museum and stuff. And in all reality, he also did his school. He teaches class for young actors and stuff on Fridays and stuff down there, and he used to do it out of the same facility, which now they've moved into a different facility, and then we're in the process of trying to find a new home for putting all his memorabilia and stuff from his museum and stuff to reopen that again here in the future.
That'd be cool. So now I was there. It seems like it's been 2 years ago that he sold the one of the original Bandits, or I should say Trans Ams, for what, $250,000. It was actually his personal car. $250,000 Woof.
Yeah, that was one of his personal pro touring cars that he had that we helped do some work on and stuff that, yeah, he put up for sale. And yeah, that one, you're right, it brought over $250,000 and stuff at Barrett Jackson.
The whole world was shocked. Yeah. That's right, at Barrett Jackson. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Well, and thanks to you, I got to meet him and talk with him, and you know, that was just fun. And so how's he doing lately? What's been going on? Anything with Burt Reynolds?
Yeah, he's doing really good. We sold another couple pieces from his collection at the latest Barrett Jackson event down in West Palm Beach. We're working on a couple other upcoming events. He is going to be a part of the Bandit Run this year. Is actually featured in the Jupiter, Florida area. So we're doing day trips right out of Burt's hometown. And we're doing some special events with Burt.
Nice.
While we're down there. So people that join in on our event will get to see Burt and get autographs. And we're working on some special VIP stuff, too, for some possibility to basically get Burt in their car and get pictures with him in their car.
Right. Well, that's
some pretty neat stuff.
That is totally cool. Matter of fact, I'm looking at the Facebook page, 2018 Bandit Run. You guys, if you want to check it out on Facebook, June 20th through the 23rd, Jupiter, Florida, put on by Restore a Muscle Car, which is Dave Hall and the Bandit Run. And you guys can keep an eye on what's going on. If you've got a Trans Am or you know, have a friend that has one, make sure you tell them about this event. It's just very cool. And I wanted to get you on to make sure that we promote it in advance in case somebody is in that area or wants to take their Trans Am out and have some fun and hang out with others that do the same. So, you know, it's all good, brother. I appreciate you. RestoreAMuscleCar.com for you, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. If you guys want a, if you want to restore a muscle car, put .com, and Dave Hall does a fantastic job. Dave, thank you very much.
You bet, Alan. Thank you very much.
All right. We'll see you soon. That's about it for me on this hour. We've got another hour to go here on The Drive. We'll see you on the flip side.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, we got a great hour in store for you, and I know that to be true because Carl Brower's on the phone. He's the executive publisher of Auto Trader Kelley Blue Book and Dealer.com. You can find him at KBB.com. Also, his personal page, CarlBrower.com. He's the boss. You know, you can tell he's the boss. He gives me four things. We could talk about this. We could talk about. Let me just tell you what they are so you can store what's going to be talked about over the next half hour here. I got my street tire kit for my Dodge Demon. Oh, we'll talk about that. Tesla, he says there's always something to talk about that, right? And, of course, yes, and things have changed even since he wrote this. And the Mustang GT500, I know they released another photo, and they've kind of, you know, let the cat out of the bag a little bit that it's going to be at least 700-plus horsepower. So will it be a demon killer at the drag strip and a GT350 killer around corners? These are questions Carl's going to answer. And Honda has sold more than 1 million Honda Sensing cars with Honda Sensing, that is, which is their, you know, kind of their driver assist system. And the question is, are we having safer roads because of this stuff? And evidently, Carl's got the answer to that. Why don't we start there? That's pretty cool stuff right there, Carl. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Al. Good to be on with you, as always. And, nice set of topics you read off there. The automotive world never slows down, as you both know. So.
Right.
But that last one is fascinating to me because, you know, you're well aware, we're seeing the injury and fatality rate with automobiles trending in the wrong direction in the last couple of years. It's going up And, you know, we'd gotten it down to low 30s over a course of a couple decades. It was dropping, and now it's back above 40,000. So it's gone up by like a 25% number, which makes nobody happy. And a lot of people are saying it's because of the increased distraction that drivers have from all this information that's being delivered to the car.
So well, cell phones and everything else, too. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, they're either they're watching their phone or they're even messing around with other parts of the car too much, maybe, you know, if it's not a well-integrated or designed system interface.
Right.
So in that world of trending the wrong direction on terms of automotive safety, Honda has managed to move the opposite direction. They've got cars out there that are they've sold a million cars now with this Honda Sensing suite of technology, which is everything from an automatic braking system and a collision warning system, which is like straight line, you know, protection, to lane keeping assist and road departure mitigation, which is to try to keep you from going out of your lane. So that's like side to side assist versus straightforward with the braking. And then, of course, I've got radar cruise control, too. So it'll actually drive the car and modulate speed based on cars around them. So you can get this system either standard on something like the new Honda Accord or optional on a whole bunch of other Hondas. Almost every other Honda, you can get it optional for around $1,000. And that right there is worth talking about, is that $1,000 gets you five pieces of high-tech programming for your car that strung together ends up being a fairly advanced level of driver assist.
Right.
And can protect you in a lot of circumstances. And they've sold a million cars with these systems on it now, with this Honda Sensing system, and they're seeing all the statistics. They're seeing a drop in insurance claims by people who have the Honda Sensing cars, and then when there is an insurance claim, they're seeing a drop in injury rates and a drop in cost of repairs. So the things are helping reduce accidents in the first place and reduce severity of accidents in the second place.
Mm.
And in a world where the overall statistics are going the wrong direction, that's pretty impressive that Honda's doing that. And that you can go get, like, you know, the lowest priced cars, like a Honda Fit for $19,000. For under $20,000, you can buy a car from Honda that has all this strung together driver assist technology that will protect you in all these ways.
You know, there is kind of a learning curve or a bell-shaped curve to all things like this. And, you know, even I, as I've driven thousands of cars, I'm finally starting to really appreciate these things like Honda Sensing and, you know, Volvo City Safety and City Smart, and everybody has their different version of it. And until you don't have it and you remember, oh, wow, that thing, you know, saved me. I wasn't paying attention or got distracted or whatever it is. Until you're kind of one of our old classic cars or anything that doesn't have it, you really... you can't really appreciate it till you've had it and had it taken away for a few minutes. So I would strongly suggest people go drive these newer cars. Subaru has it, and everybody's got something these days. They will save your life. Great job, Honda, for selling a million cars with Honda Sensing. We'll take a little break. Come back with more of Carl Brower. See? Look at the good stuff he's bringing to the table. Can't wait to talk about the demon. All right, we'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Not believe my eyes. When I saw through the buds of a trusted friend who used to humor me and tell me lies. Yeah, humor me.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Well, this is the perfect music to talk about the Dodge Demon. Of course, Carl and I both have one. We are both thunderstruck by ownership. Carl, I'm not sure, though. You bought a street tire kit. I don't do anything but drag race wherever I go. Anybody that wants to race, I'm on. Why would you want to put street tires, huh?
Exactly. Why would someone do that to this otherwise drag racing monster that's been unleashed? No, I thought it was a brilliant idea. You know, when I first was at the press event for this car back in July, I asked Tim Kaniskis, who at the time was still running all the passenger cars for FCA, and I said, is there a way if I don't want to have drag radials on the car, let's say, like, you know, it rains or I just don't want to use that kind of soft compound rubber to cruise up and down the Interstate 5 if I'm driving up to San Fran from L.A., is there an option I've got? If it's a wide-body car that's the same as the new wide-body Hellcat, wouldn't the wide-body Hellcat's wheel and tire package go right on and everything would work okay? And he looked at me, he's like, oh, have you been breaking into our, you know, secret documents here? Because we're already planning to offer a street tire package for the Demon that will essentially be the standard Hellcat wide-body wheel and tire. And I was like, ah, okay. And that just made me feel much better about buying the car because it's like, okay, I don't have to drive around those drag radials if I don't want to. Now, the truth is, I put about 2,000 miles on the drag radials, and you've put a lot more than that on them, Alan.
3,500 now.
Yeah, in a lot of different driving conditions, too, for a much wider range of conditions than I drove in. The tires are actually really good. Those drag radials are far more functional and capable of handling real-world circumstances than I kind of thought, and I think they kind of described. You know, just sign that waiver when you bought the Demon saying you'd be careful with them, basically. But the street tire package does have real tires on it. They've got real tread. If it rains, you'd have real, you know, channels for the water to wash out of and all that. So, and they aren't going to have the soft compound that's going to get worn out if you're, you know, not at a drag strip driving around on a normal road and you're wasting your drag strip traction on a normal road when you're not drag racing. So
how much were they though? That's the question.
They were actually a really good deal. You know, there was all sorts of speculation on the Demon boards before they were announced the final price, and everyone was thinking 4 to 5 minimum. You know, you're getting 4 wheels, 4 tires. They're 20 by 11 inch forged wheels. Lightweight wheels, and then you're getting these very high performance Pirelli P0 tires. And everyone was like, oh, it's going to be like $4,000, $5,000. The MSRP from Dodge is $3,700. That's actually a pretty good price for a full set of very high performance tires. And they come ready to go. The tires are already mounted on the wheels, they're balanced, and they've got the TPS tire pressure monitoring system sensors in there.
Right.
You bolt them on and go. And that's exactly what I did.
Well, for the other 3,298 people that have Dodge Demons, because I think they've sold them all now, and they've said they're not going to build a 2019 model. We have about 2 minutes left. Let's just kill this whole segment on performance cars. So if they're not going to build a 2019 model, and now Mustang GT500's coming out, you wrote a little thing, will the new Mustang GT500 be a Demon killer? What more do you know?
You know, there's just a lot of speculation. We know it's going to have over 700 horsepower. Ford's told us that. And, of course, it's hard for me to conceive Ford would go so crazy on the pure straight-line capabilities that Dodge did with the Demon.
Right.
I highly suspect what they'll do is they'll kind of split the difference. They'll have a vehicle that will be capable of challenging, if not outright beating the Demon in a straight line, but also being more along the lines of a GT350R going around a corner and trying to do both. You know, it'll basically be a more multi-purpose vehicle and all. I could be wrong, but I'm just confident that Ford would not go quite so hard one direction. They'd rather have two capabilities of the car, that it can still go around corners as well as go straight very rapidly.
You know, I mean, that car lends itself to being a much better handling, cornering car in the twisties.
Yes, it does.
You know, I kind of hope they do, personally, because that would make it a really great all-around car, you know? I happen to like
the Demon. I do, too. I think the car would have more personality. They don't need to – everyone, if they start trying to one-up each other going straight, it's like, you know what? Let Dodge have that.
Yeah.
Make this car a more well-rounded package for cornering, too.
Yeah. Well, and I have to think – I mean, and the last car I had before – you know, the last car that I was in love with was my GT500 Super Snake Shelby. I was absolutely in love with this car, but had to sell it. And then I got the Viper ACR, which is an extreme aero, crazy, wild thing. Then the Demon. So maybe I'll have a GT500 in my stable next year. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Tesla. As Carl says, there's always something to say about them. This is The Drive. Don't go anywhere.
For you, there's nothing in this world I wouldn't do.
My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
You know, we're very proud about the fact that we have Craftsman as a sponsor. Same thing goes with our friends at Dodge, and Subaru, and Rimbo, and Bridgestone, and some really great ones, you know. But Craftsman's newest slogan, "We Build Pride." I love that. I absolutely love that. All-American type company.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I like that.
Wait till you see, Carl, what Craftsman's coming out with now. They've got, I can't tell you about it quite yet because they got a big thing going on later on this year, but I've seen, and they have seen the light that, you know, we love American. We're Americans are proud of being American, so they love American-made stuff. And I think the folks at Stanley Black & Decker that purchased Craftsman, they get it. And it's going to be fun to watch what happens. Anyway, okay, so we were talking about Demon. We were talking about, what else? What were we going to talk about? I completely forgot it.
We were going to talk about the last stand of the Demon, or the last ride of the Demon in terms of production. I heard earlier this week that they killed that off. So, you know, they made 3,300, and you said they weren't going to make one in 19. And sure enough, earlier this week, they said the last Demon has rolled off the assembly line at Brampton in Canada. So it's a one run and done on the Dodge Demon, and we're officially done building them.
Well, I have to think that's a good thing for us guys and gals that bought the Demon that were lucky enough. I mean, I feel very fortunate. I'm sure you feel the same way. My question is now, knowing that the Ford GTs are bringing at auction $1.8 million, how does that make you feel? Because you got one. You are, again, the luckiest guy in the world. What is it? Does it scare you? Does it make you go, oh, my gosh? I mean, you're getting
emotions.
Yeah, right?
My emotions are all over the place. At first, I was annoyed that another person broke their agreement with Ford.
No, nah, but I heard somebody died or something, right? Did somebody die or go blind?
The guy had cancer.
Or,
the guy's got cancer. He's going to not probably be alive too much longer, and he has gone blind, so he can't drive it. That's a tragic thing, and I can totally understand that he probably doesn't have much use for the car.
Right.
There is a provision that everyone signed, Alan, who got on the list for the car and has purchased gone through the purchase, saying, don't worry, if something changes, things change. We totally get that. Ford totally gets that. We will be happy to buy the car back from you and all at the same price we sold it to you. So we both know why you still wouldn't take Ford up on that. If you've got the car and your life changes, and that's what all the people who want to try to say Ford's crazy, you can't tell people what to do with their car. Well, actually, you can. You know, if I come to you and I say, hey, I have this awesome thing for you that would be really cool for you, but there's some stipulations, and here's a legal binding contract for you to sign about those legal stipulations, and you don't say, well, I hate stipulations, but I'm going to do my thing. You say, yes, I'll sign that and totally live up to the spirit of what you want me to do, but not really. Later on, I'm going to change my mind. And well, things change, Carl. People, things change. And Ford's ready to buy the car back from you. Well, they'd only give me the same price I paid, and I could flip it at auction for three times that. Oh, so you're kind of slimy and don't have any integrity. Gotcha.
Oh, you know what? The guy figures, I'm going to die. Too bad. So sad. You know, wow. All right. So we'll just have to watch and see what happens with that. Now we go on to the car company where there is always something to say about, which is Tesla. What is going on with them right now?
Yeah, there's always something, you know. So last week, a lot of people were watching what some would describe as kind of the unraveling of at least the Twitter feed. Let's just say it was only the Twitter feed and not the thing behind the Twitter feed that controlled the Twitter feed. But the Twitter feed got to be a little unraveled, let's say, for Tesla's CEO and the things he was saying and spouting and all. And I think, unfortunately, the general mainstream media has been pretty supportive of Tesla for the past 15 years. I don't know how else you would describe a company that's never met a deadline or a production number
oh my God,
or
I know,
anything.
Right?
and still has a stock that keeps going up in value and has a whole army of fanboys.
Oh, it's
there
moved up like 125 points on the Fortune 500 list. You know, 500 most valuable
companies.
Yeah,
market cap.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a market cap that rivals Ford and General Motors, even though they're making, one billionth of the amount of cars every year. They hardly make any cars at all.
I know.
Okay, fine. That's all good. Here's the problem. When you decide that even the media isn't being nice enough to you in spite of everything I just said, and you start attacking them, guess what happens? Well, most media people don't like that, and they start to push back. And the problem for Tesla is if you're a media person looking for a reason to go after Tesla versus supporting them, there's one or two or 12 or 82 reasons to go after them if you just get critical and start analyzing things.
Well, we're mean-spirited anyway.
Well, exactly, And so I've said a lot about Tesla in the last 15 years, and I've always tried to be fairly, centered and logical and rational. That puts me in the rare camp of calling them, as I see them in terms of having challenges and not living up to promises they've made. And I've been calling that out, honestly, more than a lot of other people have. But that doesn't mean I hate them. That doesn't mean I want them to fail.
Right.
It means when they don't live up to their promises, I call it out. Well,
right.
Now a lot of people are calling out a lot of their issues that aren't just me because, Elon went after the mainstream media and started saying, well, none of them are believable. I'm going to create a website that rates the credibility of media. And of course, I couldn't resist, and though I'm usually pretty good on my own Twitter, but I did have to put a Twitter out right after he said that. Said, I like that. Please direct me to the site where I can rate the credibility of CEOs.
Oh, you know what? Muskie's like this. This is the perfect song. Twisted Sister, we're not going to take it. So he's going on the attack.
Apparently.
Carl Brower, you're the best, man. Thank you so much. I want to know how those tires handle those Pirelli P0s on that Demas. Carl Brower, you can find him at carlbrower.com or kbb.com. Executive publisher, my pal, and we will talk to you later. There's more right after this.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
It's spring. Time to wake up and get a great deal. Jolt them out of their winter slumber with Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. Or Dodge Charger with up to 300 horsepower with 30 mpg highway. Or Dodge Durango, the most powerful SUV with available all-wheel drive in its class. Spring's here, and so are the deals. So wake up and join the Brotherhood of Muscle. Based on Ward's Middle Specialty Vehicle Segment, EPA estimate, actual mileage may vary. Based on 2017 Ward's Mid-Sport Utility Vehicle Segmentation. Excludes other FCA US LLC vehicles.
Listening to The Drive, I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by Haynes Automotive Repair Manual. They are the information resource for the DIY enthusiast and the worldwide leader of automotive and motorcycle repair information for over 50 years. If you work on your car, get yourself a good automotive repair manual. That way you don't have nuts and bolts and pieces and parts left over. You're not like the Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz. My leg was over there and my arm was over there. Having a good repair manual helps. So BJ and I last week talked about the Veloster, the Hyundai Veloster. They've refreshed it, renewed it. And I know you guys, a lot of times think, it's like, yeah. What if you're 7 foot tall and you're big, badass, mean dude like Brian Armstead? And, it's like, how tall are you, Brian?
6'9".
He's a big 6'9" black dude that'll punch you in the throat if you give him any trouble. No, I'm joking. Nicest giant I've ever met in my life. Oh, God. I love to tell the story how I started out life with Brian. I started out life with Brian by insulting him, and then he stood up out of the chair and was towering over me like the Empire State Building.
Breathing on your head.
And I went, please don't hurt me, giant. You're a nice giant. Anyway, I love you, man.
Love you too, Alex. Yeah.
Let me ask you, did you fit in the Veloster? I mean, because you literally are. You're a giant man.
I literally am. I'm 6'9". I weigh 310 pounds. And yes, I mean, even with the sunroof-equipped models, I was able to fit in the car, no problem.
I love it.
Now, with the models that don't have a sunroof, I had a, you know, I had a 1 or 2 inch bonus there. But yeah. I like light. I like ambient light above me, particularly because I'm so tall.
Yeah.
I love having a little ambient light coming in. And with the sunroof, it's a tight package, this Hyundai Veloster. I'm sure you and BJ talked about it at length. But I wanted to talk about it, too, because Hyundai has been on an impressive roll. The Ioniq is an impressive vehicle. The Kona is a terrific small crossover utility.
Yeah.
And now they've come up with this upgraded, updated, refreshed Veloster, where the old Veloster was like a Honda, a Civic wannabe. This new Veloster is going to be a hit with the young folks who like to tune their cars, who want to have their own expressions. And think of it as a Scion and a Honda wrapped up into one, you know, with the quirky styling that Scion used to have sometimes and with the performance attributes that the Civic brings. And you've got all in one package with the Hyundai Veloster. Plus, on top of that, you've got America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles powertrain. It's just hard to find something that comes in at 18.5 base price, Alan, that can really beat this.
Yeah.
It comes based with a manual transmission, which is a plus these days. It's so hard to find. A 2-liter four. You can go all the way up to 28,150 plus your 885 destination for what they call the Veloster Turbo Ultimate with a dual clutch transmission, all kinds of bells and whistles, all kinds of safety features. And that's the thing with Hyundai. The only thing you have to pick on this car is whether you want, you know, you pick your trim level.
Yeah.
Only want to spend 19 grand, you go with a base car. It's got the same body style. The wheels are going to be a little bit different. Maybe the, you don't have two-tone paint, which is available. You don't have all of the safety features. However, it comes very well contented with safety features. But you can pick your level of poison here, and none of them break the bank. That's the beautiful thing.
Well, and the fact that, you know, they have that 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, and now you can finance it like a house for 30 years. The payment's only $16 a month. I'm joking.
You're pretty close. I mean, you know, right? 8-year, 9-year finance.
I know. Anyway, no, they're a good car. They're doing really, really well. J.D. Power and Associates, the voice of the customer, a super high ranking. I think they're still number one, J.D. Power and Associates. It's really impressive what Kia and Hyundai have done. I mean, it's bizarre, really, what they've done. They have everything from, you know, the Kia Stinger now, of course, which is a sports car, which is amazing, to the K900. And now Hyundai has spit off this other brand. What's the other brand called? The premium
Genesis,
brand?
Genesis.
Genesis, right. It's like Lexus for Toyota. I mean, it's like these guys have
They're
serious. And guess what? They deserve all the accolades they get because many years ago when it was like, well, I don't know, it's a Hyundai or it's a Kia, I don't know. But then they came out with that 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. It's like, what? Well, who cares?
Well, they had
give it a try.
If you recall, right? They had to, Alan, because if you recall, when they first came to the U.S. market, they had the Hyundai Excel, which only excelled at blowing head gaskets on a regular basis.
Right.
So, you know, after disasters like the Excel, they went back to the drawing board and said, okay, if we're going to play in this market, we've got to come correct. And they brought out cars. They started slowly. You know, the Elantra's always been around. The Sonata's been around for a long time. The Santa Fe has had several iterations. They've slowly but surely built the cars up to where now Kia and Hyundai have top-rated safety picks and are top-rated in terms of J.D. Power reliability surveys.
Right.
This is from a brand which was moribund. I mean, they were just like, they were on their deathbed. But instead of just kind of staying in place like Mitsubishi's done, for it seems, for the last 30 years, each model that they build, they've learned from it. And, you know, when you learn from your mistakes, you can only get better. This is not GM folks. These folks, the Hyundai Company Corporation, has continuously improved their cars each year. And they're determined to be, you know, one of the world's top automakers. And I don't see any reason anything that's going to slow them down.
Yeah.
And this new Veloster, fun to drive, lots of features, little things like active sound design, which you can get on certain trim levels, which actually pipes in normal sport or, you know, aggressive sounding into the cabin so you can hear
right, the
and
exhaust.
Actually experience yeah. the engine. Yeah.
Right.
They have a paint called Sunset Orange, which is just breathtaking. The wheels on this car, the optional 18-inch alloys, are gorgeous. They don't look like cheap alloy wheels that you find on a $28,000 car.
I'm more impressed that a 310-pound, 6-foot dude fits in there and still has good things to say. Brian Armstead, thank you very much.
HyundaiUSA.com. Okay. Follow me at Road Gear Stun on Instagram and Twitter.
All right. Good man. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Alan.
Take care of yourself and, you know, stay in touch, brother.
I will. Thank
All right.
you, bro.
I got some great music for you here, by the way. This is two cellos. Check this out. It's so good. Watch it on the YouTube. It's these guys are they rock. We'll be right back. It is
right.
The Drive.
Thank you.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning. Stylish. Sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning, because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And our show is brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And you know, I just got done recently testing the new Ascent, a new 7-passenger Subaru. Crazy, we'll talk about that. Joining me right now, though, for what I think is something everybody should know about, and we haven't talked to him for a while, is my friend Jason Fogelson. He's a freelance automotive journalist and author of 100 Things Every Gearhead Should Do Before They Die. And he works for Auto Trader, Forbes.com, AutoByTel. He was the president of the Motor Press Guild in Los Angeles till he moved back to Michigan, so they said, you're out of here. No, I'm joking. Hi, Jason.
How are you, Alan?
Speaking of love. Yeah.
I'm feeling the love today.
Why? What do you got?
Well, I got you. I'm talking to you. That's what it's all about.
Oh, nice. So first of all, I think the last time we talked about the book, and it might have been a year ago. I'm trying to think how long it's been.
I think it was longer than that. The book came out 2 years ago, and you were among the first to pick it up. So
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Of course. I love it. So how are things going with 100 Things Every Gearhead Should Do Before They Die?
They're going well. I've gotten some wonderful feedback from readers, and I'm really pleased that people seem to be enjoying it and using it as a little bit of a template for their summer drives this year.
All right, so go to Amazon, you guys. 100 Things for Every Gearhead to Do Before They Die. And
published by Reedy Press.
Okay.
Great little place out of St. Louis.
Amazon, fun book. So, and I thought, you know, we should just, it's like, I know you moved, you made a big move. By the way, the ranch looks great.
Thank you.
And you're probably out exploring the new area, the part of Michigan you moved to from Southern California. And you couldn't have picked probably a nicer time to be there right now, I assume.
Oh, it's beautiful right now. Everything's green and humid, and it was 100 degrees yesterday.
Oh, was it really? Oh, no.
It really was.
Oh, I got to be there.
I discovered the joys of air conditioning.
Yeah, right.
So,
air conditioning is so much better when there's like the kind of humidity you get in Michigan. So what
exactly.
Have you been? I see you've been driving a lot of things as we're friends on Facebook. I mean, Lexus LC500, Kia Rio, Hyundai Veloster. We just talked about that with Brian. What stands out in your mind right now as fun things that you've driven that you would go, you know, the first thing I want to tell you about is, what do you got?
You know, shockingly, the Kia Rio 5-door.
Really?
Yeah. I had very low expectations because I hadn't driven a Rio in a long time.
Yeah, I haven't either.
And I'll tell you what, this new generation, it's on a new platform. And it's still an entry-level vehicle, but it's an entry-level vehicle that delivers a lot of refinement, and it's just a cool little car.
How much are they selling for now? Because this is really the entry level car.
Starts at about $16,400.
Yeah,
and the top trim level starts at $18,700. That's the EX. That's what I drove.
So let me ask you, Brian and I just now, we were just talking about the Hyundai Veloster, and now you're talking about the mm-hmm. Kia Rio. Hyundai and Kia are under the same parent company, and so they're obviously sharing technologies and things like that, and which is great. I have a feeling that, you know, the average person that doesn't pay attention to the auto industry, you and I are both like, you know, immersed in it, doesn't realize exactly how high up the rankings are for these two companies, Hyundai and Kia both. I mean, it's like they're up there on top above Mercedes and car companies like that.
Yo, absolutely. The standards in the industry are J.D. Power's evaluations, and they're consistently, for the last 4 or 5 years at this point, right up at the top, above luxury makes, for reliability and they call it initial satisfaction.
Right. Yeah.
And there's a good reason for that. They're building really good cars, and they're building them at factories in the United States now. They're well worth considering if you're out looking for an entry level vehicle.
You know,
it's even if you're looking for something, you know, higher up the trim levels.
Right, because, I mean, the K900 from Kia, and they have amazing machines. But it's interesting, Brian made a point in the last segment that when Hyundai first came to this country and they first came out, they really had some issues. But it could be, and as I also do a show for entrepreneur, I've seen this a lot with entrepreneurs, it could be that falling down on your knees and scraping your knees and realizing, oh, my God, I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't being thoughtful. I wasn't doing this, that, and the other, and reevaluating what you were doing, you can come back stronger and better.
Absolutely. Well, there's one word that has to be factored in when you're talking about cars, and that's value.
Yeah, right.
And it's not necessarily low price. It's what do you get for your money?
Yeah.
And they figured that out, and they decided, you know, let's start by backing our cars with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty
yeah.
to show people that we have confidence in them.
Yep.
And then let's build an audience, and they've done that.
All right. Hang tight. I'm very interested that, you know, you were driving some pretty fun stuff, and the Kia Rio was the one that bubbled to the top. You know why? Because it gives you that feeling of delight, like, wow, they're doing this right, you know? And these cars are so
Absolutely.
Important to the average person that just needs a car to get back and forth to work, something reliable that's not going to leave them stranded, make them late for work, you know, all that kind of stuff. All right, we'll take a little break. Jason Fogelson's with us. We're going to talk on the other side of the break. It is The Drive. Stay with us.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real world reviews. Find us online at The Drive with AlanTaylor.com.
Haynes manuals are now available in online format for all electronic devices. With Haynes Manual Online, you get all the trusted content of the Haynes printed manual. Added features include the ability to enlarge every color photo, a keyword search function, and a detailed troubleshooting section. There are over 180 car, truck, and motorcycle online manuals to choose from, with more being added every day. Go to Haynes.com and enter your make, model, and year to find the Haynes online manual for your vehicle. You can do it for yourself. Let Haynes Manuals Online show you how.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone Tires. Joining us is my friend Jason Fogelson. He is a freelance automotive journalist and author of 100 Things for Every Gearhead to Do Before They Die. Pick up an issue. You can find it on Amazon. Jason, what else you got going on?
Well, you know, summertime to me means road trips.
Right.
And when you talk about road trips, I hate to be the bummer, but you got to talk about safety. And one of the things that has come to my attention recently is worn tires.
Yeah.
I went to an event recently that a car company was held at their proving ground. And the point of the event was to show that not all tires wear the same way, and that it's a challenge to figure out when to replace your tires and how long your tires are actually going to not just survive, but deliver the kind of stopping power and grip that they were designed to do when new.
Right.
Because all the ratings that we get on tires and all the research that's done on tires is done on new tires. So one new tire versus another could be a very different calculation than a tire with 30,000 miles on it and, right, you know, 230 seconds of tread versus another tire with 30,000 miles and 230 seconds of tread.
And well,
they were able to show us that you can't just assume these things.
Well, and here's another factor that a lot of people just don't think about. And if they're like me, they may think about it, but don't want to believe it. I have a brand new set of tires in my shop that are 7 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Brand spanking
new. Tires age.
Right. And so you can take that same tire that's 7 years old, and now the rubber has started breaking down, and you guys will see these little spider web cracks in the sides of your tires, and these motorhomes have them especially because they sit a lot. The sun breaks them down, and the same exact thing, the factor of, you know, what the tire was designed to do has changed. And so you look at the DOT, there's a date on the side of the tire. And the Department of Transportation will, you know, makes them put a date on there for a reason. Otherwise, it wouldn't matter. Why would they put a date? So that way you can know how old your tires are. And I think that after 5 years, they say, that tire ain't no good. You might want to check with your tire manufacturer and see what that is. But those are all factors, and you're right. By the way, you said, you know, you don't want to talk about the bummer safety. To me, gosh, you ain't going to have fun if you get into a crash. So to me, it's an important factor. You know, it's all right. We got to talk about important stuff here, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be a crash to ruin your trip. It could be, you know, being stuck by the side of the road on a very hot day.
Yeah.
Needing to change a tire.
How many times have you been there?
How many of us have a real spare tire anymore?
Right, or one that's actually got air in it because we haven't checked it in 9 years, you know? And
because
tires lose, what is it, a pound of pressure per month or something like that, air pressure. So you can put helium in it. That'll slow it down. But anyway.
Nitrogen as well.
Oh, did I say helium? Nitrogen.
You did. Well, but, you know, that's your high squeaky voice.
That's okay. Nitrogen, helium. Yeah, well, that'd be fun. At least the car's a little lighter if you put helium in it. God,
I'm going to use that. Yeah, absolutely.
So in the book, by the way, before we go, because I got about a minute and a half, tell the world about this fun book, because I want to help you sell some more of these copies. It's just a great book.
Thank you very much. Well, we got a bunch of different categories of things for gearheads to do before they die. And some of my favorites are, as I've told you many times, I love a car museum. There's just nothing better as far as I'm concerned.
I do too.
And being in the Detroit area now, I've become a member of the Henry Ford Museum.
It's awesome.
And it may be now my favorite place on earth, except for my bed.
Right. You know, it's funny. I was just talking to Ed Justice Jr. a little bit ago on the show. He was at the Indy 500. And I said, when are you going to come visit me? And he says, well, you know, you're a long way up there. I'm in the Pacific Northwest, and he's in L.A. And I go, come on, the LeMay Museum is here. You got the Spruce Goose, the aerospace thing. And then he starts naming off. And he goes, yeah, you know what? He goes, that would be a great trip. So I think for many people, Jason Fogelson is absolutely right. Car museums, if you're a gearhead, the car museums of today aren't like they used to be. 100 Things for Every Gearhead to Do Before They Die is a book, and the author is my pal, Jason Fogelson. Find it at Amazon. Jason, thank you so much for today, brother. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
All right. I'm going to now go outside and do some yard work and wash my car. See you next week. It is The Drive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.